Welcome to the Sooners Extra Postgame Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Eber, here with columnist Jenny Carlson and the beat writer, Justin Martinez. And guys, a lot to unpack from this one, a 37-31 OU win over the Wildcats. And Justin, let's start here. Another close game for the Sooners. Certainly wasn't pretty, but most everything isn't for the Sooners right now, but they found a way to come out with a victory yet again.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not the not a convincing win by any means, but something that definitely I think the team could build on. I think a lot of us were expecting it to be one of those sort of grinded out games you're going to have to earn. You know, this is their first road test of the season. First chance to see, you know, how a guy like Spencer Rattler can handle a packed road environment, stuff like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, they managed to fight off a really gritty Kansas State team that did its best to pull out the upset.
Yeah, Jenny, let's keep it right there with what Justin just mentioned, Spencer Rattler. Rattler got booed a week ago at home, was getting booed quite a bit here today at Bill Snyder Family Stadium for some different reasons. Just looked like a different version of Spencer Rattler than we've seen the last few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you could see it in the stat line. I mean, 22 of 25, really a very efficient day for him. But you could also see it with your eyes. I mean, I just think he looked much more comfortable. I think the offense by extension looked a lot more comfortable. I think that was in part because of some wrinkles that Lincoln Riley introduced into the offense this week, trying to take advantage of the K-State defensive scheme, some play action, some bootlegs, some things that would pull some defenders towards that line of scrimmage on running plays, but also the threat of running plays. And then Spencer Rattler able to pass out of some of those situations. I thought it was just a really, I thought it was a really good add to the offense, to the game plan. And I thought Rattler really played well. And like you said, all things considered, coming out of the week that they had, no easy task to overcome all the outside noise and all the things that they've overcome. I thought it was, you know, for this season, I mean, it seemed like his best front-to-back performance we saw.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It seemed like he felt pressure a little bit better today as far as escaping the pocket, didn't force things. You know, there were a couple situations the last few weeks where even if they wound up being completions, there were ones you're like, he really dodged a bullet there. There was really none of that today. It was, you know, Spencer Rattler taking what he was given, not trying to do too much. A different look, though, on the offense, Jenny, not only with Spencer Rattler and the way he was able to control the game, but doing some different things with Jeremiah Hall, especially, and trying to maybe make up for some of the problems that they've got protection-wise. And, you know, they were able to overcome some of those issues that have plagued them over these first those first four games.
Yeah. Hey, one other thing on Rattler too. You know, he had the one interception, but I think it wasn't a great throw. But I think as the ball was in the air, I would have liked to have seen Mike Woods do a little bit more to maybe deflect that pass or make the interception a little more difficult. He kind of stood there resigned to it. It seemed like there were a couple issues at play there on the interception. So just wanted to mention that as it relates to Rattler. But yeah, I mean, I think this is an offense that still has an offensive line issue. You know, they had some holding penalties. They had some false start penalties. They even capped it off with an unnecessary roughness penalty by one of the offensive linemen tonight. So seven penalties by the offensive line for OU. That's too many. They need to cut that back and they need to figure some things out. But, you know, I think that they were able to do some things, like you said, Ryan, with Jeremiah, you know, with just some schematics that were able to, you know, use the strengths that they have, which they have a lot. I mean, for crying out loud, they've got some really talented, you know, individual playmakers on this team, you know, until the offensive line can figure it out, because you got to think at some point they're going to start to figure some things out. Until that point, though, they're going to have to do some things that make up for an offensive line that doesn't just move people like we've seen the OU offensive lines of the past move people.
Yeah. And, you know, Lincoln Riley talked about after the game that, hey, this offensive line blocked pretty well. And they did at times. I mean, heck, you look at Kennedy Brooks's numbers, 15 carries, 91 yards and a touchdown, a big game for him, although Kennedy Brooks seems to make holes for himself in significant part. But still a lot of issues up there. And they made didn't make any switches to start. They wound up inserting Wanya Morris in to start the second half. I believe he played the rest of the half. I have to look at the stat numbers later on that, but they've got to figure that out, although it certainly, Justin, becomes a little bit less of a problem with some of the things that they were able to do today.
Yeah, definitely. We had talked about it a little bit after the game against West Virginia, you know, just kind of establishing that short game, getting the tight ends or halfbacks a little bit more involved, guys like Austin Stogner, which we saw some of in the last game, even a little bit today, getting Jeremiah Hall a little bit more involved. That really goes a long way. And also, like you said, it really helps to have a guy like Kennedy Brooks in the run game, who is real patient with the ball. And then when he sees his opportunity, he's going to make the most of it, you know, just with his ability to break loose for those big plays. So definitely the options are still there. They're going to make the best of the offensive line situation, but it would go a long way if it could improve.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jenny, another big thing I thought offensively today was Marvin Mims, and not massive numbers, 4 catches, 71 yards, but I mean, heck, you look at the yards after catch, 47 of those. When you don't have time to stretch the ball and go downfield, there's been a lot of talk centered around Mims' role in this offense. But to me, the question wasn't inside or outside, slot or playing that wide role. It was protecting long enough to get the ball to Mims and getting him the ball in space to be able to make those plays we saw so often last year. And I think maybe for this offense, Mims' best place is in the slot, just because you can be a little bit more creative and getting him the ball quickly in space. And I thought they were able to do that today in a way that they haven't been able to do really since the first game of the season.
Well, and if you look at yards after catch, I mean, while Mims is, I mean, it jumps out the 47 there because, you know, he ends up with 71 yards. So that's such a huge number of his total yards. But they had over half of their receiving yards came on yards after the catch. They finished with 261 yards receiving. They had 131 came after they caught the ball. To me, that was, you know, when you were watching this offense, you know, try to get back on track. We saw some instances where they weren't even trying the deep ball, but a lot of times you weren't sort of seeing those moments where they were able to get the ball to these playmakers in space, because, you know, whether it's Marvin Mims and his speed or Braden Willis and his size speed combination, on down into Mike Woods, Mario Williams, even Jeremiah Hall, we mentioned him earlier, but these guys have some fairly, you know, high level skill when it comes to being able to get yards, you know, beat defenders, find space. So to figure out some ways to allow them to do that, I thought that was big. I don't know what the numbers, how these would compare to past games, but I got to think to go over 50% of your yards coming after the catch, I think that speaks to them wanting to figure out ways to get the ball to these guys in space and then let them go work a little bit.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Justin, sticking with offense for one more thing before we turn the page and talk about the defense. We saw Caleb Williams come in for a couple plays, and one was a little bit more of the wrinkle there on the very first drive when they insert Caleb Williams in there and the snap gets by him. I think it was a 12-yard loss, if I'm not mistaken, on the team. Are officially charged to the team, although it looked like a pretty good snap. But then Caleb Williams comes in. I think Spencer Rattler, I can't remember if it was his shoe that got untied or what happened there, had to leave for one play. And the offense does the same thing as that they've done with an 18-yard pass completion there. And maybe gets Caleb Williams feeling a little bit better about this game. But interesting to see him in there for a couple of plays when we haven't seen him in there in Western Carolina minutes for a while.
Yeah, that that snap definitely did look like it was on the money, just something that he had mishandled. But, you know, we had seen success out of him at the goal line earlier in the season. Was it the Tulane game that he had the he was able to punch it in for a touchdown?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely wouldn't just say that, you know, we got to scrap that now after that miscue, because I do think he still could be effective in the goal line. But, yeah, I mean, just some short appearances from him. He had a good pass there. And like you said, that miscue, hopefully he can be able to shrug that off. But just a little bit of an appearance of Caleb Williams, I guess, giving the fans what they wanted. They wanted to see Caleb in the game, and that's what they got.
What do you guys think the reaction would have been if they'd have put him in there last week? There may
and
have
that's
been
what happened.
Pandemonium. See him out there, some people would have gone crazy.
It would have been nuts. Although it certainly would have been interesting to see what would have happened if what happened today had happened if they put him in last week. But I think Spencer Rattler quieted any realistic calls for anything like that. But Jenny, let's turn our attention to the defense. And we wrote so much this week about the progress that the defense has made, and wrote off the game last week how the defense was carrying the Sooners. Today that wasn't the case. The offense was fantastic. I mean, you look at their eight drives, nine drives. The one ended in the interception, like you mentioned, but honestly, that was the third down. They probably got in a better position than they would have been had he just thrown the ball away, because they pinned Kansas State at the seven, I think, seven or eight on that possession. And then the other one was the very end of the half when they're just taking knees. Outside of that, OU scored on every possession it had, but the defense today was an issue, and it wasn't the slant patterns that West Virginia was able to take advantage of, but it was a lot of throws underneath, a lot of throws to the sideline. Certainly Deuce Vaughn get involved like that. Some of those other guys, Phillip Brooks, really hurt the Sooners on those. It just seemed like the Sooners were defensively were a step slow. They missed a lot of tackles. I'd be interested to see what the missed tackle number is for this game, and didn't get much consistent pressure on Skylar Thompson.
Yeah, there were definitely some things about the defense that won't be up to snuff for Alex Grinch, you know, who is pretty, he doesn't have to look very hard to find things he doesn't like, I don't think. But I think that the thing that they did well was not let the K-State run game really get a rhythm going. You see Deuce Vaughn with, 15 carries and 51 yards. I mean, those are some pretty decent numbers when it comes to handling him. Joe Irvin, his sidekick, 7 carries, 33 yards. So not a ton in the run game, which K-State often beats you with their running game. So I thought that was good. But, yeah, you just, you saw them, give up some – I think the tackling to me, Ryan, was the thing that was most troublesome. We hadn't really seen that be a problem for OU this season. And I know that part of it may be the shiftiness of guys like Vaughn and Irvin a little bit. But, man, there was even some bad angles taken. Guys didn't even get there to make tackles a couple times because of some bad angles. So I don't know what was going on, but that was a real – that was kind of a head-scratcher because we haven't really seen that much out of this group. But they definitely need to tackle better moving forward.
Yeah, and then Justin, when you've got Texas and Bijan Robinson and what he was able to do today, which was just put up massive numbers in their win over TCU, that's something that's got to get fixed here pretty quick, or it's going to be really difficult for the Sooners to maintain here. Bijan Robinson, 216 yards and two touchdowns on the ground for the Longhorns today.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, it's going to be the best back that they've faced so far this season. So a real test for them, So we'll see how they handle it. At the end of the day, they still have the weapons to be able to do it. It's just Grinch kind of talked about it also in the post game that it just takes a team effort. It's hard for one guy to make a play if the other guys on the field aren't also doing their jobs. And so at the end of the day, that's what it's going to come down to. if guys are going to be able to work together. And, you know, it's going to be a group effort to stop a guy like Bijan.
Yeah, they've got to be consistent up there. I thought Nick Benito, once again, Jenny, was fantastic. There were stretches when he wasn't on the field for a couple of drives, especially after I think he might have needed, you know, about an hour and a half of oxygen after that 70-yard fumble return that he had. Longest in OU history, by the way.
Looked like he'd been shot.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I'd be like that after about half of that, if that. But Nick Benito, when he was making plays and flying around the football, that's a game changer for the Sooners. And I think even as much as we've written about him in the last year, as much as we've talked about him in the last year, people still maybe underappreciate just how good of a player he is.
Yeah, on a day that he doesn't, I mean, stat-wise, doesn't exactly fill it up and ends up with four tackles, but he has two for loss and obviously the fumble recovery for 70 yards. I mean,
Sorry, Jenny. It's just crazy that that's the longest in OU history. I would have thought at some point they would have had one longer, but that topped Corey Heinicke's back in 01 against Air Force, I believe, for the school record.
Yeah, and, you know, the thing I think is that, if we went in and looked at play-by-play, we'd probably see that what Nick Benito does is occupy guys and then allows other guys to go and make plays. I mean, not to say that that's not happening with other players on this defense. You know, I think Perrion Winfrey is a guy that offenses have got to pay attention to. But, you know, I have a feeling that Nick Benito is another one, too, that he's going to occupy. He may only have one guy that he's physically occupying, but I have to think there's a couple, you know, one eye on him, one eye on the guy you've got sort of thing, because he can be so dynamic. I got to think that he's a real concern for offenses. And I suspect he will be next week too at Texas. I mean, I think that he's the type of guy that, you know, can have a day that, you know, could, you know, be remembered for a long time. He's that type of player in that rivalry. I think he's definitely one to watch moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also got to talk about some of the controversies of this game, the biggest being the onside kick review that got reviewed twice. Justin, we were able to ask the Big 12 some questions about this. Not sure how satisfied I am with the answers we got there. Is that a fair way to say it, Jenny? I see you smiling a little bit over there.
That's probably right. I'm just not sure I fully understand why they did the first review but missed the thing that was illegal about it all in the first place.
Yeah, and the thing that after, I think, by the time that review was, the first review was underway in any significant way, I think most of us had realized what was going on there, just watching the replay on the board here. But you could see on the board that they were clearly just looking at the 10-yard mark. They weren't slowing down on the kick or anything like that, which I love the review cam where we can see everything that they're looking at in real time. But Justin, sort of just a head-scratching moment, and it slowed down a game that was rolling along really quickly. And for those of us who have some deadline issues, you know, that cost us a good chunk of time there.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's definitely frustrating when you can, you know, like you're saying, you can clearly see after that first or second look what was going on, and, you know, you're still waiting for the officials to catch up to it. But at the end of the day, I mean, Riley at Lincoln had also said this afterwards, that, you know, he gives credit to them because at the end of the day, they didn't have to really swallow their pride and take that second look and be able to correct it. You know, he was wondering, are they actually going to be willing to say, hey, yeah, we kind of messed up. I don't know how we didn't see this at first, but they did. So, I mean, they got the play right at the end of the day. It's just unfortunate that it did take about 10 plus minutes of real time for that to happen.
Well, and yep. Riley said, too, he said he was kind of questioning if he should even challenge it, you know, even though he said he had a pretty clear idea of what had happened. He knew that he had touched it like as soon as it was a bam, bam, he kicks it and then it touches his foot almost before he can you know, like a split second thing, but he knew so clearly what had happened. But because of what you said, Justin, the question was, well, do I use this challenge here? Is it going to work out? But the fact that he didn't, that was huge. Momentum had swung back to K-State. It looked like we were headed for another nail biter here in Manhattan. Oklahoma might lose again. Ended up, we had a close game after all, after the kickoff return. So these two teams just seem to be, they can't get away without having some drama. But the onside kick was definitely the most drama-filled moment of them all today.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Jenny, a quick aside, should Justin's nickname be Josh Heupel here, as much as he says at the end of the day?
Maybe he doesn't even he didn't even hear that. Like, that's not anything he even knows anything about.
Like, at the end of the day it happens, okay? It just happens sometimes.
Love it.
But another replay review of a big play. Looked like K-State had converted yet another fourth down. And then they call it a completion and gets overturned late. And so replay has hurt the Sooners here before. Hurt him in 2019 when Trajan Bridges took the ball off his right knee, was ruled not to have been blocked into that onside kick as OU is trying a furious comeback there. But today the replay booth at the end of the day was kind to the Sooners.
Got it right, don't you think, Justin?
Yep, that's all that matters at the end of the day.
But those were big plays. I mean, you're right, Ryan. That was definitely, you know, again, because you felt like, well, maybe K-State's going to try to figure out a way to make this interesting. And even, you know, they did onside kick it after the kickoff return. They onside had kicked it twice because Lincoln Riley calls a timeout immediately or right before they kick it the first time. And pretty obviously they were trying to line drive it up the field. Drake Stoops grabs it and everybody's going, wait a second, why did Lincoln Riley do that? So they get it the second time too, though.
Yeah, let's throw some praise at Drake Stoops' way, because that was a catch now, you know, to be able to pick it up out of the air like that, coming out at a pretty good clip. It wasn't a lob situation. You know, he's not catching an Ephus ball there. He's catching a fastball. He's yes. able to go pick it up. And he was not happy that the timeout got called, but wound up working out all right for the Sooners. We'll move on real quick to Texas after this, but we've also got to take our weekly moment of appreciation for Gabe Berkich. Yet again, a fantastic game for him. 3 of 3. Hit a 40, hit a 47, almost made up for the Tyrese Robinson penalty that Jenny referenced earlier that really hurt the Sooners, because as good as Berkich is, he can't quite get it into the end zone on a 15-yard penalty there. And K-State winds up returning the kick for a touchdown. But Gabe Berkich continues to solidify his case as being the Sooners' top kicker of all time.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy's making long field goals in tough situations look routine. I mean, that field goal he hits late in the game, it gets a little bit overlooked because of all the other stuff that happens. But I mean, that was an icer. You know, you think, well, there you go. There's the end of the game for Oklahoma. So, you know, the fact that he just stepped up there and hit it, I thought that was you know, again, he's hitting long field goals. He's hitting, you know, field goals with some consequences. Obviously, last week, none greater than that. But still, I mean, this guy's impressive. He just keeps adding to his resume.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But we touched on it a little bit. We're talking about the run defense. But now it's time for Texas. And Justin, this will be your first taste from this perspective of things. Texas is rolling along pretty well right now after what they did today. Seems like Casey Thompson has grabbed hold of that job, and things have settled in a little bit for Steve Sarkisian's group. But what to you right now is the biggest key for the Sooners here going into the Red River showdown, shootout, rivalry, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah. Well, first, also, I want to say Burkett's 17 career field goals of at least 40 yards. That is a school record that he looks to be continuing to build on.
Yeah, I was about to say, he had that record going into today, I believe.
A while back, yeah. So added on to that one. But yeah, I mean, I was going to say at the end of the day, I stopped myself this time. That is progress. but yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to, can you stop that run game? You know, as good as Thompson has played as of late, he still has some room for improvement. He didn't have a great game today. It was a lot of running by Bijan. So that's what it's going to come down to. Is the OU defensive line going to be able to get some pressure there and be able to contain him? And if they can do that, they're going to be in great shape.
And don't you think that bleeds into one of the bigger issues we've seen that has sort of started to become a thing now with Oklahoma is the amount of possessions that they are or aren't getting? I mean, last week they had 4.5, and you thought, man, that you know, 4.5, they used to have 4.25 sometimes. Today they had 3.5. You know, so it's like they just keep having trouble getting a hold of the ball with these sustained drives that other teams are having. They don't always get touchdowns out of them. Sometimes the defense is able to come up with a Nick Benito fumble recovery or force a field goal. So it's not like they're all touchdown drives, but it just reduces the amount of time that the OU offense is going to be able to perform. And if Texas is able to run the ball, that plays into the game plan that other teams have had and trying to shorten the game for this Oklahoma offense, really put the pressure on them to perform when they do have the ball. So I think that's going to be really key next week with Texas. Can the defense, you know, get some shorter possessions, 3 and outs, get the ball back to the offense, allow them to build on this momentum we saw today? Can they sustain some things? I think that has to play in together. And obviously it's a huge rivalry with a lot of emotion. So how does that factor in? You know, Spencer Rattler should be more capable of handling that this year. Same for some of these other guys that have been through it. But man, it sets up as a really enticing, interesting game, as it pretty much always does with those two.
Yeah, it's always fascinating what these two teams play, but certainly will be another fascinating matchup here. And Justin, don't worry about it too much. We all have things that we say all the time. So, you know,
not me. I'm perfect. Kidding.
And humble too.
There you go.
That's one of my greatest strengths, I gotta tell you. Let me tell you how humble I am.
But real quick, I think all three of us, I know me and Justin will be there. I think all three of us will be there next week at the Cotton Bowl, get a little bit more sense of normality. I haven't switched over to say a normalcy, even though, gosh, it's been, over 100 years since that change sort of started getting made, getting into the, you know, grammar nerd territory here. But anyway, things get back to normal. State fair once again going on. You know, I'm not sure exactly how comfortable I feel about the amount of people that are going to be down there and around, but I'm also a big fan of fair food. Didn't get to go to the Oklahoma State Fair this year, so a wrap up question for everybody. Justin, we'll start with you. I'll let Jenny end this one. Justin, what's your favorite fair food, and what are you looking forward to most if you're going to try anything down there?
Fried anything. That is my answer, pretty much. It's all going to taste the same when you double fry it. So as long as it's fried, I'm in.
Yeah, that's not a bad plan at all. I've got to go with my favorite fair food generally. Got to go with a classic, the Fletcher's Corny Dog. Down there, I know that they have them at OU now. That's fantastic. They're really good, but there's something about walking around the Texas State Fair with a big old Fletcher's Corny Dog and some mustard on it that always feels right. Always like to try some of the new stuff that they have out there every year. They've got some interesting ones this year, so I have to figure out one or two of those to try as well. What about you, Jenny?
Well, this is a simple one, but I love the corn. I love the roasted corn. Give me an ear of roasted corn. And, you know, Justin's right. All the fried food is pretty top notch, but I think I'm partial to the fried Oreos and fried Snickers. Both of those, really good. So any of those three, if I get a chance to grab hold, I'm definitely going to do it.
Yeah, definitely. There's something about that breading, and you bite into it, and you get the sweetness and the gooiness of, say, the Snickers. Certainly the Oreo when those things heat up. But I'm a Snickers fan myself. I love those, and the Reese's, things like that. So really looking forward to it next week. Should be an interesting game. Once again, 11 a.m. For the Sooners. I think that's an ABC game, right? I know it's on the ESPN family of networks. I believe it's ABC.
I believe that's right, there. Yeah.
So it should be a fun one, no doubt, next Saturday at 11 a.m. down in Dallas. But we're going to wrap it up there from Bill Snyder Family Stadium here in Manhattan, Kansas, where on Saturday the Sooners defeated Kansas State 37-31. Thank you so much for listening. You can check out our work every day at Oklahoman.com and every morning in the Oklahoman for the best OU coverage anywhere.